You were talking before about SentinelNode, and I was meant to ask you something. What about the issue of false negatives in SentinelNode? What has been seen nationally, and what do you tell your patients about your own false negative rate?
Well, there are two scenarios, and they're worth separating. When we look at our prophylactic mastectomy patient population who had a sentinel node, a third of the 160 patients had instrumentation of the breast within 3 months of their prophylactic surgery. All were benign. There wasn't a single IHC positive cell in any of those cases. However, when Chip Cody looked at instrumentation of cancers with either FNAs or core biopsies, he did find and report a higher rate of IHC positive cells in these sentinel nodes. Now, the difference wasn't striking. It was 1% versus 3%. But there's no question that some of these cells that we see on IHC could be artifactual. Last year at ASCO, we presented a retrospective study where we went to archives from Memorial Hospital and identified 400 patients from 1976 to 1977 in whom we had all of the lymph node material available. These were cases that were signed out as node negative. After doing enhanced pathology on all the nodes from all of the cases, we would reclassify 20% of these patients as node positive. And when we looked at the survival data, IHC H&E negative patients had a worse relapse-free survival and breast cancer-specific survival. So in the main, I would argue that IHC positivity is meaningful. Yes, there's a small chance of false positivity, but I don't think that it's in a biologically irrelevant event.
What about the false negative rate of sentinel node?
Last year at the American Surgical, we presented a 5-year follow-up on almost 4,000 sentinel node cases, and our clinical false negative rate was about half of 1%, which is right in line with a published series of full axillary clearance, you know, aggressive axillary treatment. So I think that what you really care about is the subset of patients who come back with a positive node in their axilla after a negative sentinel node, and that's less than 1%, which, again, I think is in line with almost any medical intervention that we have.
What about the false negative in terms of, you know, for example, the way the NSABP looked at it, comparing sentinel node to sentinel node followed by axillary dissection, and I'm sure your test cases, you looked at the same thing.
We were concerned by the high false negative rate reported by the NSABP.
It was about 10%.
It was about 10%. And we certainly, in the first 500 cases, all of our sentinel node procedures were done by two surgeons, myself and Chip Cody. And after really mastering the technique, we had a 2-3% false negative rate when you completed the axillary dissection. We've known for a long time from randomized trials such as the B04, where there was a randomization from radical mastectomy versus total mastectomy with and without radiation therapy. If you look at the node positivity rate in that trial in the radical mastectomy arm, it was about 40%. But in the total mastectomy group who didn't have nodes removed, only 20% of them presented with clinically positive nodes. The reason for this has never been entirely clear. But that's what we now see clinically, where we know that the false negative rate may actually be 1% or 2%, but we're seeing less than 1% of clinical recurrences.
Why do you think the NSABP saw a 10% rate?
I think that one of the beauties of a large-scale randomized clinical trial is also one of the Achilles' heels, and that is you have a bell curve of surgeons who are high volume and low volume, who are from institutions that are high volume and low volume. I think that in general, randomized trials make bad surgeons look good and good surgeons look bad. And I think that's sort of an acceptable rule of thumb for surgical trials.